Welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Money podcast. I'm your host, Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a podcast to help you understand your money better. I'll address a question about money every week. You'll have the opportunity to send me questions, and I'll base other questions after things I've been asked in nearly 19 years as a financial planner. The podcast is divided into three sections. In the first, I'll introduce the topic, then I'll give you more detailed information about it, and then finally in the third section, I'll give you ways you can implement strategies so you can make the information go to work for you today. Let's get started. Welcome to the first episode of Ask Peggy About Your Money. I'm your host, Peggy Doviak, and today's episode is called, Why Did Peggy Go Into Finance? I used to be an English teacher. I have a degree in creative writing. I'm the last person in the world you would expect to find in financial services. And yet, here I am. So we're going to take some time today to learn why I made a major career shift. And then in the third section, I'm going to give you some resources if you're trying to find a financial planner of your own or even just a financial advisor so that you will have a better experience than my mother did. There's the hook. Like what you hear? Check out my website, askpeggy.com. That's askpeggy.com. You can read my blog, find where I'm appearing, and keep up with my books. How does an English teacher become a certified financial planner practitioner? Well, the story really starts right before the end of the dot-com bubble in early 2000. My mother had just retired. She was very smart, a CPA, did international auditing for a major oil company, but she didn't know anything about the stock market. I was playing in stocks, but didn't know anything about stocks either because everybody was playing in stocks in the run-up to the dot-com crash. So I introduced my mother to my broker, and she told him that she wanted to make money. So he put her in high-tech single stocks in March of 2000, just about a month before the market peaked. Well, of course, almost immediately, her portfolio starts going down. And I call the broker, and he assures me that his analyst thinks that the bottom is just around the corner. In fact, we should buy more if we have any money. And, you know, I remind him he has all of her money at this point, and there isn't any more to give him. So I hang up, call back 2 or 3 months later. Hey, the market's still going down. What's up? Our analyst thinks it's the bottom. It was almost exactly the same thing that I had gotten earlier, but with no answer. Eventually, the broker quits taking my calls. Well, I'm horrified at how much money my mother is losing. I don't have any idea why, because I don't know anything about the stock market, and she didn't either. All she had when she was working was a pension, which is gold, and a 401k plan only in her company's stock. So when he took her out of that and diversified her into the high-tech stocks, we didn't know. All she had said was she wanted to make money. So fast forward to Martin Luther King weekend of 2002. I meet a friend of my husband's who trades, and he gives me some books to read. And the more I read, the madder I get. Because by any definition of managing money, this guy hadn't followed any best practices. He hadn't even followed any good practices. What he had done, I found out later, was simply put my mother into whatever he was told to sell that morning. So there we sat, my mom with a major loss. It was somewhere around 50%, maybe 40%, but at least that much, of companies that weren't coming back because they had gone bankrupt. So the whole idea of, oh, don't sell, it'll come back, that doesn't work when companies go bankrupt. I'm really angry. I'm so angry, I start telling my friends what I think they need to be looking at. One friend said, you should change careers. It was like, don't be crazy. I have 3 degrees in something else. We're not going to do that. Then my mother says, I want you to take over managing my money because I trust you more than the broker. I said, Mom, you don't want to do that. I don't know anything. She said, you seem to know more than he does. I want you to do it. Well, that changed everything because I immediately panicked. You know, my stress level went through the roof and I realized I probably couldn't worry any more than I already was worried about Mom's money. And so I looked into changing careers. I interned a little bit because it was a huge shift from where I was. At that time, I was a corporate trainer. And I decided, after some serious consideration, I was going to open my own financial firm. And so in September of 2003, I set my unofficial anniversary date as September 15th, because that's about when the state of Oklahoma told me I was good to open. I had my license and I opened, but I knew that I needed to know more. And so I had earned a certificate in financial planning, but then went to a financial planning conference and learned about the CFP designation. I earned my CFP designation in September of 2005, and I almost immediately began teaching in certification courses because my background was education. So now I have financial planning training and education, so I start teaching. This was helpful because I didn't have any clients. I have a financial firm. I mean, when the phone rang, it was thrilling news. I put an ad in the paper. My dear sweet husband said, I will pay all the bills. You're doing something great, and I want to support you. Don't worry about making money. Don't cut any corners. Do this the way you need to do it. And God bless him, I was able to do that. Eventually, I start getting clients and I start doing seminars, none with free dinners, just where I started talking about things. And because I was a teacher, the seminars worked really well. So I kept growing and kept going. In 2007, because I decided that I managed clients' money and should probably have more knowledge about that, I earned a master's degree in financial analysis. So, what I wanted to do in this first episode was give you a little bit of information about me, kind of my biography, explain how a corporate trainer with 3 degrees in English wound up in finance, and then in the last section of this podcast, I'm going to give you some things to look at to try to make sure that what happened to my mother doesn't happen to you. Want to learn more? Check out my personal finance books. 52 Weeks to Prosperity, about to be in second edition, and coming summer of 2022, 52 Weeks to Well-Being. They're available at major chain bookstores, online, or your favorite independent. How do you make sure what happened to my mother doesn't happen to you? Well, your process starts before you actually have your first meeting where you give your financial person your money. You need to ask them some questions and you need to do some research. The best place to get an initial sense of someone in financial services is on the FINRA Broker Check website. FINRA is an acronym, it's F-I-N-R-A, And then on the broker check, you're able to look someone up and see if they have any regulatory history. In other words, have they ever gotten in trouble? You can also learn more about their practice there. And all financial professionals will be listed in FINRA broker check, whether they're brokers or investment advisors. Another place to get good questions to ask a potential financial professional is on the CFP's website. Their consumer website is letsmakeaplan.org, and you don't have an apostrophe in let's. And then on that top header, you'll see 10 questions or how to choose a planner. And then if you click on that, you see 10 questions to ask a prospective financial person. You need to ask those questions. Some of them may apply more than others, but it will give you a sense as to how this person has their business structured, how they're compensated, whether or not they're holding a fiduciary duty. So if you start with FINRA broker check, if you go to letsmakeaplan.org and ask your potential financial person questions, you're going to have a lot of the problems out of the way from the beginning. There is one last step, though, that will help ensure that your relationship with your financial person works well. And that is making sure that what they offer is what you're wanting. So if they're primarily a planner and you don't want a financial plan, then perhaps that's not a great fit. Now, I'm going to advocate here just for a second. Financial planning is phenomenal, and it's kind of like the food. You don't know how good it is until you've eaten some of it. So seriously consider working with a financial planner. But just have a conversation. Make sure that they are running their practice the way you think they are. Make sure that their goals and your goals match. And hopefully you never have what happened to you be the same thing as what happened to my mother. Thanks for listening. Remember to tune in each week for a new episode and give us a like and a follow. You also might want to like my social media that you can find on the Ask Peggy website. The information in these podcasts is educational, not investment advice, and it's very important that you talk to your own certified financial planner practitioner to make sure that everything that you're hearing is actually going to be in your best interest. Until later, stay prosperous.